Hey guys, welcome to season 3 of the After Show. With me, of course, I have these idiots. Should I call you guys idiots? Yeah, sometimes you're idiots. Told me to feel free. I have with me Kalunji, Yebo, Gabriel.
First things first, we just need to appreciate and commend our host Ivy on her balls, calling the sponsor Kafunda Wine Stores Ambassador Gabriela instead of Gabriel. It takes... yes, it's Gabriel. It feels good to be back. Looking forward to an incredible season.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we are recording. Yeah, it feels nice to be back. Yeah, that's about it.
My arch nemesis is not here. But he's physically not here, but he's here.
I am here, sir.
So yeah, we are glad we are back. Season 3. Hopefully we won't have fun this season as well.
Okay, Adrian is back, clearly. We have two new guys here with us. I don't know if they've ever been on the podcast before. This guy has. Yeah, please introduce yourself again once more for our listeners.
Hi everyone, the name's Marcus.
And then we have
The name is Andrew, and it's been a while. I've been promising to join you, but it's an honor being here, and I hope it's a good experience all together.
Okay, nice. So we haven't done this show in quite a while, and I know some of these guys are mad at me, but they don't look like they're mad at me anymore. So I'm not going to ask you guys what you've been up to this whole time.
We're still mad at you.
Why are you saying you're mad at
me? You should ask me, because this entire time I've been watching One Piece. it is top tier.
We haven't done any episode on One Piece yet.
No, we haven't.
Should we do one?
We had a brief talk about it.
Tell me, what have you guys been up to? Kalunji has told us he's been watching a lot of One Piece. Boss, Gabriela, what have you been up to?
Actually, I did quite a bit of catching up on One Piece as well. Apart from that, I did a lot of ranting as to why we weren't recording. For those who want to know some inside information, it is all Ivy's fault. We blame Ivy, and she's the only one responsible for the reason we did not record for long. Her Instagram is Ivy. You can go and send some hate her way. Go and make sure she didn't fuck up again by skipping. We don't need this kind of treatment.
Guys, this was an all my fault. We have two hosts in this place, right? It's me and Adrian.
Yeah, but he's here now. Ivy has the biggest part to play in why like the podcast was on a break.
Yeah, but what have you been up to?
Clearly, the co-host is the problem.
I don't have any beef with you, Ivy. I am just happy to be here once again. What's the anime you got me watching? Kaneda something. That looks like Baki, but it's not Baki. Yeah, I watched that. That's the only new thing I watched.
Today we're doing something amazing. I think all of us have watched the Jujutsu Kaisen movie. So, first things first. General feelings. How was it for you? Let's start with the new guys.
JJK was nice. Okay, the movie was nice. Actually, I was just disappointed with one thing. But what they did was okay, giving us the backstory into Okotsu's life prior to the events in Jujutsu Kaisen. What I wanted was more action. I feel like they deprived it, because you could tell by the there were so many talk no jutsu in the movie. I'm talking a lot. Oh yeah, otherwise the movie was okay, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. I personally, just like Eric just informed you, I watched it more than 5 times. I was waiting for so long. I actually downloaded a 600 megabyte JJK file that was not a movie. It was
just to be clear, that's about 7 hours of screen time. Just yeah. Watching one non-stop anime.
Yes, it is, but... You know, for the love of...
It was worth it.
I
Ivy knows that now it's going to take some time for her to actually get back into the position of hosting. Today I just gave her the privilege.
By the way, you're just one click away and you're off. Okay? And you're off. I'm
actually I've been picking up. Look at Ivy up in here like Midorima.
So he talked about something like very, very serious because Okotsu, I don't know if I remember him from the series. Was he there? Exactly. So,
like I'd said before, Zero is before the series, the anime, before season one. So this is all before they even met Yuji.
But you know, earlier on when we were having the conversation, you sort of talked about Okotsu as if you know him.
No, that's because I read. Yes, that's because I read.
Okay, that was from him. So, Kalunji. General feelings from the movie.
It was a perfect movie. Nine out of 10. Relax. Nine out of 10. And I can firmly say, hold on. I think we can all agree that it is better than Mugen Train.
Wow, look at this madman. What are you saying?
Thank you. I have
refused. Adrian, hold on. How was it better?
100%.
What do you mean? What's wrong with dialogue?
Very unnecessary dialogue.
What do you mean?
To the point that they kept cutting action scenes. It was so fucking annoying. They just show a scene, jump on, this guy's completed, guys. The entire time I went there for action.
At the end of the day, we have to remember one thing. This is a love story. This is a story about a young man's passionate involvement with
it's
not about fighting.
Okay.
To be honest, this felt like I do not know, but this gave me those BVS vibes, the first release, of whereby they cut scenes to accommodate to let it fit in a time frame. That's the kind of vibe this movie gave me. Gab first told me that this flick was better than this, so I went there expecting. But to be honest, no.
So, okay, fine. Let me ask you a question. Okay. So, hold on, Adrian. Hold on. This entire man's argument is that what I'm trying to get from his argument is that he wanted to see Gojo fight. That's basically. That's what you're complaining about.
Not only Gojo.
But that's the only scene you're complaining about. Which other scenes? Which scenes?
First start exactly the very last. What is it? Fight between that guy and the thing. It literally just ended in 2 seconds. I was like, what is this? You're summoning the chick to give her all of Omanya, all her energy, and then she just. It was literally 10 seconds. Not even 10 seconds.
Mr. Adrian, these guys are trying to say so. You saying that the fight was summarized? This chick, this the what's it called? The curse powered up and overpowered Ghetto. That's what happened. What did you want to see?
I wanted to see exactly how that arm got off his body. Cinematic.
Gabriel, first.
Relax. First of all, how he took down both the panda and the other.
So here's another thing. That is to show the level in skill, the skill gap. Yes. The moment this guy, let's listen, the initial fights, you'd see him holding up, concentrating and going for a 1v1.
One-on-one.
But then, when he professed his love, guy said this is a love story, you guys just misunderstand, and broke the curse. That act of breaking the curse was excessive power. You didn't need to see. And also, when this guy sent it, he pointed. You remember, he lifted the black cast with his hand and pointed to Saint. This guy also raised his hand and Saint. So if it was a hand v hand power, like the final fight in Naruto, I'm sure Adrian would remember when the Rasengan and Chidori clashed and their hands both got fucked. So it's the same thing. Power from the hand of excessive quantities is going to fuck you up.
I think what Ivy and Blake, like they are pointed, like the entire movie is that they don't want the fact that like the directors of the anime were cutting out like these fights that they actually wanted to see. But I feel like you have to give credit to the directors because sometimes some of these things are actually done to make the experience more enjoyable. So I feel like that fight was unnecessary. We didn't need to see Gojo fighting against that Miguel guy. Like, I feel like it was unnecessary. Okay, we got some glimpses, but you don't have to see the whole fight. Then same thing with this ghetto guy when he took on Panda.
you see, the other thing that I want, before you even go any further, like, the whole plan, okay, I know they didn't want us to really know the plan that this guy, what's his name, the Basuguru guy, I know they didn't want us to know exactly what plan it was, but, like, there are very many things that were very unconnected, eh? Like, now the scene for the Kyoto Jujutsu School, like, okay, I just found that part very unnecessary.
What part? What was unnecessary about that?
Kyoto Jujutsu School. Those guys from that school.
Hey, like, them showing up in the fight?
Yeah. That,
what do you mean it was unnecessary?
It was a bit unconnected.
How? How? The way they showed up. The way they showed up.
They just
showed like a brief glimpse and then jump.
I think the way in which they would have maybe framed it is like after this guy came and told them about the whole fighting and blah, blah, what is going to happen on the 24th. Was it 24th? Like, maybe they would have showed us a scene where they were, like, informing the different schools that this is going to happen. Something to feed into the scene.
One thing you have to understand is that these guys they have a time frame that they work in. So, basically, not everything is going to make it into the movie. You get, like, the guys who are directing, like, the movie, they have to try and squeeze so much into the movie, give you so much detail. So
that scene would have been like that scene would have been like 2 seconds, really, Adrian. To be honest, for me, I just don't like the fact that
all the scenes that were in the movie were
it was better. So he wanted us to see a fight where a guy like Geto, who is overwhelmingly, but he was in the same class as Gojo. You want us to see a fight between him and these other first graders? Hell no, we don't want.
God, you send them there knowing they will be beaten.
So why?
That brings me to my question. Because I remember when I came here, I asked you guys if you remember this guy from the series, and he's the only one who said so. So, basing on the series and what you saw in the movie, did you really think that the person we saw in the series is going to act the way he did in the movie? Because in a series, man, he was bad without being bad.
The thing is, the Suguru Geto that we saw in the series was after the events of the Zero movie. And everything that happened in the series was actually of Suguru's making. You agree with me on that?
Yes.
He was pulling the strings. You saw the cursed spirit that gave an entire two schools trouble. They actually managed to put up a veil that disturbed two schools, two Jujutsu schools. So in the series, to me, because we didn't have prior knowledge to what Suguru was in the Zero movie that we just saw, so I'd say he was a pretty better villain. In the series, to me, the Geto in the series is not the same Geto that was in the movie. So it would be really complicated to compare the two. But what I think we should first wait for season 2 before we draw clear judgment.
My point. Now, let me say something. Let me add something to what he has said. First of all, you expect, because if what happened in the movie is a prequel to whatever happened in the show, that means that these guys, even in the movie, were weaker. So you do not really expect a villain who was in the movie that we know is a prequel to be on the same level as the guy who is in the series after the movie. So how do you even start comparing them? You said that he's a weak villain. But the very reason that drove Geto, even in season 2, is the same reason that drove him in season 1, the same reason that even drove him in the movie. His reasoning has not changed as to why he wants to eliminate humans. It's the same villain story. He calls them monkeys. He hasn't changed.
What I'm just trying to bring out here is Suguru, in this case, after looking at him in the movie, you see that I honestly have no other word except weak, because the way he was making his decisions isn't what we saw in the series. Because he was very calculated in the series, but in the movie, it's like he was just being what?
The only smart thing I saw Suguru doing was the feint he threw, splitting up his praise and the destruction. The destruction was Tokyo. Yes, then the main course was Okotsu,
yes,
but then Okotsu turned out to be more than he could handle on his own, even after Panda and No, the speech guy.
Okay. Nice or something?
Yes, yes, you say something.
One thing, what do you guys believe is like the key to making a good villain, a good anime villain?
Okay, so for me, first, one, you have to like be calculated such that we do not know your next move. And in this movie, we knew. I sort of knew what was going to happen. What this guy's plan was. That his plan was who? Okotsu. It was clearly evident. You get?
And
there was no plot twist. Like that. Like what we saw in the what is it in the series. That's not what I saw here.
Just told you that.
What I can say, I feel like, I was saying, when you're making a good villain, I feel like when it comes to anime, it's more about how challenging he is for like the protagonist. How challenging is like, is it going to be for the protagonist to actually get over this guy? And given that the world we're dealing in, Jujutsu Kaisen, basically, like they told you guys, there are four special grade like cursed spirits. And you understood that Okotsu was one of those special great cast spirits. And also, Geto is a special great. So basically, it's like they're fighting on the same playing field. So I feel like it's understandable to see why, like, the guys gave us a good reason of as to why, like, Geto actually lost. It's understandable. His loss was understandable.
Let me also say something. It's these guys, it is. Also, they explained in the movie. First of all, they explained in the movie that it is Okotsu who actually cast Rika. And it turns out that Okotsu actually has incredible cast energy. And Okotsu is a distant relative to Gojo Satoru. I don't know if that triggers something in your heads to think that this man is actually not on the same level as these other guys. He's just too good.
The reason why I'm over-triggered is because Kalonji said this shit was better than Mugen Train. That is the only reason. And this is why I'm saying that it wasn't. This guy did not feel like a villain to me.
Can I ask you something? You say Akaza was a great villain.
A better villain than this guy.
Okay, do you remember
that's what makes a better move.
Do you remember anything about him? Was there anything to him character-wise? Apart from the fact that my boss sent me here to whoop your ass or convert you, so this is what I've come to do. Face me. Uh-huh. Apart from that, did you see anything character-wise? Did he have anything like drive or character build behind him?
Yeah. Also, to add to that question, did he have any ideology that he was doing his deeds by? Like, exactly, trying to enforce his ideology. He was just a puppet sent to kill people.
For a movie to be good, we have to have a good what? How do you like calling it? What? Protagonist? Well, yes, then you have to have a good villain and you have to have a good story. Now, my issue with this flick was simple. He talked about backstory, but they were like four times they threw a backstory and it was unnecessary. We already understood from the beginning, like two backstories are enough, but it felt like there were four. Then it felt like the editing was off. He brought it up. He also just that stuff of whereby the fight is starting, then they skip. Just like summarizing that final scene, I didn't like that whole idea. What Andrew talked about whereby there is a good fight scene, they cut it and move on to the next part. And I'm like...
Goju, how did we feel about him not actually going to intervene in the situation at the school and leaving the kids to go and do it?
I think... Gojo, what you guys need to understand is that Gojo has some intense calculus on his side. He doesn't just let things happen. Him not going to the school was probably because he knew Okotsu was more than what Geto could handle. Him sending the panda and Inumaki was because they were backup. They weren't actually meant to help. If you realized it after they were injured, he's the one who actually healed them. He was using his own cast energy. He knew Okotsu was more than what Geto could handle. So it was a calculated move. You actually saw when they were talking in the end and when he was injured. You knew I was going to kill them. I was going to kill them and use them as a pawn to trigger Okotsu. He knew Okotsu was too much for... And actually, if you remember very well, Geto's plan wasn't Okotsu. Geto's plan was eliminate Okotsu so he can get Rika. his goal was actually Rika, not Okotsu. And Okotsu, he didn't know, he didn't have the knowledge that Okotsu was actually Rika. So he was just fighting a vestige of Okotsu. Yeah, in this case, so for him, he thought Okotsu and Rika were separate people, but they were actually one. That was the image of his cursed energy. That's what it looked like. And it seems it's unlimited power. So, like, I was talking with Adrian on WhatsApp sometime. I told him that Okotsu and Rika are one. They are the same being. They're not different at all. So when Okotsu turned to ask Rika to let the energy, to release the energy so he could release him, he was actually asking for permission from himself. He was asking himself permission, yeah, permission to let go. Exactly. So that's...
I would like to disagree with what he has said. First of all, when Rika died in real life, Okotsu did not want Rika to die. Without his knowledge, he placed a curse upon Rika. So you cannot really say that they are the same. Like Rika existed. You cannot say, yeah, you can. I do not think, maybe I did not get what he said, but I believe they were separate, but in a way that it was, because we all saw at the end that it was Okotsu placed a curse on Rika. It was not the other way around.
What he's trying to say is that Rika's power was actually Okotsu's power. So, like, it's... they are one. You get, eh? Like, Rika was born from him. So, it's Rika is more or less just an extension of his power that he was more or less scared to wield. So, he decided to what? To create a...
When you put it like that, because if he want... because we know that he wanted... Geto wanted Rika. But if he had killed... let's say he was able to kill Okotsu, then Rika wouldn't have existed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the mistake Geto was going to make. He would have realized if Okotsu had died, Rika was going to disappear. Because I dare to say that 90, maybe 95% of Rika's energy was Okotsu. So what would remain would just be...
But Azmat, if I may jump in a bit, Azmat.
Okay.
I remember Geto saying something about, like, he had actually done it before, where he had actually killed, like, the master of, like, a cursed spirit, and he actually took over the spirit. So I feel like by the time he had made that plan, he went into that plan and he was like, if I actually kill, like, Okotsu, I'll actually be able to take on Rika. I feel like it's actually very possible that he was going to take Rika.
Okay, then let's just move on straight into the fights. I know we said that the fights really weren't so elaborate, but okay, what's everyone's best fight from this movie? Let's start with Gabriella.
You keep doing this. You keep doing this. Yeah, the best one was, well, the best one definitely has to be the Gojo fight. The Gojo and our Kenyan Reiko boy. That fight that fight was brilliant. The man lost half his whip in a fight. It was insane. It
that
was
even
insane.
Hit behind custom.
The man was running. The man.
Let me just remain for just 10 minutes.
They were on different levels, clearly. But, objectives.
Okay.
That fight was more racist, man. At some point, man, this jabs felt personal.
Well, it was screaming mismatch right from the word go. None of the curses in Tokyo were actually a match for Gojo. That's why I think he even decided to leave Okotsu on his own. But my best fight was actually Nanami. Nanami lived up to his standards. The same Nanami we saw in the Zero movie is the same Nanami we saw fight in the series. He was actually really good. We saw some sorcerers just get devoured instantly. But when Nanami came in, everything. And I was really impressed with how he could wield curse energy. Anything he touches can be touched. Yes. Anything he touches, he can touch a djinn and imbue it with curse energy and use it. He actually had just a blade and his tie. Yes. That was my best fight, actually. But of course, the highlight of the whole thing was Rika and then...
Let me best fight. I think my best fight was with when Okotsu was sent with the cast speech guy. I forget his name. The guy Inomaki, yeah.
Inomaki.
When they were sent to that, I don't know, like a mall or something, a center, a shopping center or something like that, to fight, yeah. And then it was... Yeah, so... Yeah, I liked really seeing, even in the series, they never really... In the series, because we saw less of Inomaki's power, but in the movie we saw him go out. Yeah, and I liked how Okotsu just believed in himself and started going hard at this cast spirit. So it was, yeah, for me it was the best fight.
My best fight was Panda against Geto. I think Panda, that was a very good fight in terms of like physical combat. Then any other fight involving Zenimaki was also actually good. Zenimaki, I feel like actually she came through in this movie. She actually shone a bit. I feel like an interesting question to ask you guys. I think Ivy, let me jump in a bit. In terms of like protagonist, like who do you think is the better protagonist? Who would you rather have in that main character role, Itadori Yuji or Okotsu?
Clearly, Itadori Yuji, you guys. Yuji, because Okotsu. Oh, hold on. Okotsu is a hard man. You don't want to see that. We want to see a man. Yeah, where do you know that he's hard? He's a special grade user.
What?
The reason why I'm saying Okotsu is because, okay, we saw his power, but we didn't see. Was that 100% of his power? Exactly.
I think that was it. That was 100%.
For me, I don't think it was.
I think it was because him taking down Geto, like, trust me, like, taking down another special grade cast spirit, you need a lot. So he did all the best he could.
You know one thing, I think even if we put power aside and you just look at them as individuals, I think one thing Itadori does not have is the character depth to show emotion as required for the movie. Could you imagine Itadori turning to this demified cast thing and going all Daisuke in a super anime type, oh my heart voice, you can't really see something like that happening.
And the fact that at least we could see the cast form of who's this guy's power, Okotsu, but for Itadori it was still his form, really. In Sukuna was in form, eh? So that's for me. That's why I feel like Okotsu showed it better.
How many people side with Okotsu?
Wanted to say in protagonist sense, I think Yuji is the best right now. Why? We have only seen best Yuji. That power that comes out is Sukuna's. That is not Yuji. The reason he's able to wield Sukuna's power is his body is strong enough. No one in the entire Jujutsu universe could handle those fingers. And let's not disrespect the man. He has swallowed how many fingers so far?
Why are you saying it like that?
Let's not disrespect the
The way as mother said it, it's like he has it. Like the guy is actually like, it's like a huge joke. He has to actually do a lot.
My point, Adrian. Anyway, let's get back to the point. So what I'm thinking is, we are yet to see Yuji's actual power, because me, I believe somehow, sometime in the future, I don't think Yuji is going to go down with the idea that his body is going to be fully taken over by Sukuna, so that they can kill Sukuna again. I have a feeling they're going to find a way of separating those two. That's why I think we have just seen base Yuji. And like most of the feats he accomplished in the first season was just his base power. There are very few times when he unleashed Sukuna onto enemies. Most of his best fights were when he was using his raw cast energy. The Black Flash, that's him, fighting the flower cast spirit with Todo, that was basically him. So his best energy is really powerful, and I believe we haven't seen the most of it. Yeah.
Alright, okay. So Okay, I think that sums up the talk on Jujutsu Kaisen. We have a lot more series that we have to watch out for next month. I think Bleach is starting. I'll only talk about Bleach because I love it and everyone knows that it's my best series. So we have a lot coming out. Keep tuned and let us know what series you want us to do next. Adrian, all the way from Thailand, what do you have to say to our listeners?
Yeah, as usual, thank you all for actually listening in, and thanks to Ivy actually hosting the show today. I just thought to mention that, but I really appreciate the team actually coming here and discussing Jujutsu Kaisen. Shouts out to Azmath, what's the name of the other guy? The other guy actually didn't actually say anything.
Marcus is on chills. He's just been giving us the vibe the whole
Marcus is just chilling. Anyway, shout out to Azmath and Marcus for coming through. We have a lot to discuss on our upcoming episodes. Obviously, there is Bleach. We've never discussed My Hero Academia. I feel like that's actually going to be a good discussion. There is Mob Psycho coming through. There is Tekken Bloodline. So, guys, be sure to check us out and listen to the podcast.